I'm not raising the degreed one or lowering the degreed one. I'm saying it's not a mental achievement. It's an attitude change, which can take place throughout the spectrum of humanity. Whether they're endowed with great brains or retarded. Those things don't make any difference in God. You understand that, you see? And so we want to make sure that we get that point across. But the point I want to get is that he is raising this kingdom of priests, these people who are knowledgeable about the processes of God, about the patterns of God, about the ways of God. But remember this, Moses knew God by his ways, but Israel by his acts. You remember that? Israel knew him by his acts, and Moses knew him by his ways. What's that mean? It means that if you are still responding to God because of the acts of God, what are the acts of God? A lightning bolt, a thunder, a scary situation, a fender bender, messed up South Bridge. Then these are the acts that occur in our life every day. But the way and the path of God is to bring you always into the kingdom of Ouranos. That's in Greek. We call it the kingdom of heaven, and it means the kingdom of expansion. So even though he contracts you to get across the South Bridge, it was to expand you to get on the other side at Hershey. And God's ways are to expansive. God's ways are abundance. God's ways are affluence. But all the acts of God, that's when you need an insurance company. How many understood that? Because they happen too. Now, we're either going to know him by his acts or his ways. I prefer to know him as a prophet than to know him as Israel. Because Israel always goes back to setting up a hierarchy and they themselves not hearing. My goal is to hear from God. Man to man. Mouth to mouth. Face to face. So that he can talk to me and I can have the sensitivity to hear it. To do right. And then the strength to carry out the assignment. Or the sense to stay out of a closed door. All right. So Jesus, in reference to all this, says, look, haven't you read that they went back there, they ate this, it was not lawful, but he got away with it. Because for David, what was the present truth was not the present truth, and it was not lawful for Moses, but it was for David. Is that what Jesus said or didn't he? Okay. So they went back and they ate the showbread. And they got away with it. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, David said in 500 B.C., we will eat the showbread. But in 1500 B.C., Moses said, it's only for Aaron. It's very obvious that David is not out of Aaron. That Jesus used this as an example. But they couldn't receive the example because they were Pharisees. And they enjoyed their robes of righteousness, tithing of mint and cumin. How many remember all this? Keeping the rules, the laws, the traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinances, whether to wash their hands or not to wash their hands, and on it went. And he says, that's not the significant thing. He said, if you would have only understood, and how many times did he tell them over and over again when they got to this point, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. I want mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy is where it's at, not law. But just recently, it came to my attention in some of our friends where somebody was exposed in sin that rather than to grant mercy, the church demanded public confession, sacrifice. Exposure. Perfect love covers a multitude of sins. But in saying that, I'm not finding fault with that group because that's present truth for that group. That's the way they operate. That's the way they think. Put them back under. So that as you keep them under, you can keep the group in line. In saying that, I'm sorry to tell you that, and I'm very sensitive in not telling you who it is. Now I want to talk to you about the burden of the Lord, and this is the last part of our lesson, and I think we'll be able to get to the finish of it. Have we done well enough with these other parts that it is very obvious that what was once the law is not now the law? Have you seen it over and over again? Then let's go to the burden of the Lord, and let's see what Jeremiah says about that. I think I'll do the reading this time because there are certain areas that I want to emphasize, and it'll be a little quicker and easier if I handle it myself. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 23. I've been doing a lot in Jeremiah. The Lord's been speaking to me about a lot of things over here in Jeremiah, and I have quite a few other things to share with you that are peripheral to tonight's lesson, and maybe we'll get into some of those later on in the question and try to answer period. I think I'll start with Jeremiah 23:33, and listen to this scripture, and it's a real shocker. I'm going to read it slow because it's so shocking. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I'll even forsake you, saith the Lord. As for the prophet, and the priest, and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. How many know that the Bible says over and over and over again, the burden of the Lord for this, the burden of the Lord for that? How many know that? How'd you hear it? He says, don't do it. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor, everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For every man's word shall be his burden. For every man's word shall be his burden. Turn the one next to you and say, for every man's word shall be his burden. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts of our God. Thus shall you say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent to you, saying, ye shall not say, the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and will forsake you, and the city that I gave you, and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, and which shall be forgotten. Ooh. That's sticky. I don't like that. Boy, what a curse for saying the burden of the Lord. I don't want all that. I want righteousness, peace, joy. I want to be remembered. I want a house. I want a home. I want to get along. I want friends. I don't want to be kicked out of the house, and out of the city, and out of the country. Just for saying the burden of the Lord? Am I making it up, or is that what it says? Say it in your Bible like mine? Okay. So I did a lot of study on this, because I couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me. Burden of the Lord. Why, Malachi 1:1 says the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, and in other places it talks about the burden of the Lord, and it says don't say it. So then I noticed in chapter 21, verse 1, the word which came into Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur the son of Melchiah and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, or something like that, inquire I thee, I pray thee of the Lord for us. Now, These two guys came from the priest, I'm sorry, from the king, and went to the priest and said, what does the Lord say? I'm going to read this to you if you didn't catch it. Thus you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? Verse 37, thus shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered thee and what has the Lord spoken? If I should come to you tonight and tell you the Lord told me to tell you, and I'm carrying the burden of the Lord for you because he told me to tell you, I presume that he doesn't talk to you. And I presume that he talks to me. And there's something wrong with you. Are you hearing it? If I hear from the Lord for you, then I'm taking the burden of the Lord and carrying it to you. And he said, every man will carry his own burden, and the burden of the Lord will be directly to every person. Is that what he said? And now I began to see what he's talking about. When we deal with mature Israel, then we're dealing with people who can hear from God. We're dealing with people who have sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. And if I bring to you the burden of the Lord that he gave me, I'm saying there's something wrong with your sensitivity. And I become presumptuous. And the scriptures teach me under this, can I say, present truth. When dealing with a mature Israel, to keep my mouth shut until I'm asked. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what it said? And you go to the prophet, and you say, what has the Lord said and what has the Lord answered? So then the prophet has the right and the responsibility to respond to Israel and the members of Israel. And he is the prophet, for he does have the sensitivity to get into the Spirit and hear from God. But to do that as directive, separate from us, someone coming along and telling us what to do is one thing, and our asking what to do is another. And so now, I understand what it meant when it said in chapter 21, when the king sent these two guys to ask, because he wasn't going to tell until they asked. Then they asked, and he operated as an oracle, a prophet. And he did what he should do, but he didn't volunteer. He waited to be asked. Are you following me on this now? Now this is, I think, very vital and very important, and here's why. I believe I'm dealing with people, and I set out this way in the very beginning, who have the sensitivity to hear from the Holy Ghost. And did I tell you what I thought about you? I thought that the Holy Ghost could talk to every person here individually. Is that what I said? Well, if I really believe that the Holy Ghost could talk to every person here individually, and does, then by what presumptuous law do I have the right to come to you and straighten out your life? I'd be better off to follow the rules that he's given here and keep my mouth shut until I'm asked.
Oh, but you just asked. Have I got a word then?
But the present truth, and I'm saying this very, very sensitively, the present truth for people who are studying the kinds of things we're studying is that the Holy Ghost can talk to every person here. And every person here has the sensitivity. And God is not mealy-mouthed. How many have noticed that when God wants your attention, he always gets it? Have you noticed that? All right. So therefore, for those people who travel in what I will call, for lack of a better term, our type society, who are seeing things in the Bible like we're seeing them, it makes it very, very hard for us, because we also travel with charismatics and people like that, and they are not seeing things this way. And to them, the present truth is, God told me to tell you. Come on. If you've ever been around that group, you know what I'm talking about. God told me to tell you. How many times have I heard it? But Jeremiah says that's not the present truth. That's not the way it is now. When you come to a situation where the people know, they know right, they've had training, they've had experience, and they've had the sensitivity to be in the Holy Ghost, then none of us have the right to go up and say, God told me to tell you. But if they ask you, let them have it. Let it all hang out when you're asked. And you'll study the Scripture, and in Jeremiah will make a whole lot more sense now that you've heard this pattern. For throughout the whole book of Jeremiah, you will discover Jeremiah at a certain point, from that point on, would not tell him anything until he was asked. Because the present truth was that they knew the truth, and every man was carrying his own burden, and every man was sensitive. And he told them very plainly and clearly that when you see this city surrounded by the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar come down with his army, you are to leave and you are to go back with Nebuchadnezzar and go into Babylon, and there you will be for until the land has enjoyed her Sabbaths. Remember all this? Well, it's so even if you don't remember it. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, he says, I have just determined from reading the prophet Jeremiah the number of years that we should be in captivity. For Jeremiah had said, you know what you're going to have to do. You know that it's going to be this way. And every man's got to carry his own burden. And we're not to go around saying, the burden of the Lord told me this and the burden of the Lord told me that for you. But the Lord burden of the Lord was for me. And when the Lord speaks to me, it's for me, not for you. Because we're growing up. We're being more sensitive. We're maturing. Remember when you were children? Little kids? I don't know if there's anybody here who was ever a traffic boy or a traffic girl. Boy, weren't you smart? Powerful. That little white thing and a badge and all the rest. Oh, don't you remember how we'd strut? Stand back. Bossy. Excuse the expression. Charismatic traffic boys. Give them a little power, give them a little authority, give them a whistle, a badge and a white belt. That must be a good allegory. Because it's people carrying the burden and telling other people what to do. Aren't you glad you don't need a traffic boy? Praise God. We're past that stage. But for those who do still need a traffic boy, aren't you glad for the traffic boys? What? Praise God. I would just assume that they've probably saved a lot of lives, wouldn't you? And the flags and all that kind of stuff? Now, I'm not sure, you know, I haven't studied statistics and all that about that thing, but I'd say praise the Lord for them. For that group of people, for that area, for that present truth. But we're going up. And so in this realm, may I suggest to you that the present truth, in my understanding, for this group, is that every man has his own burden. And God is able to speak to every person here. Now turn around, front row, look at the back row. Back row, look at the front row and smile. Do you see anyone here who looks so decrepit that they cannot hear from God? Turn around, look at each other again for just a minute now. Is there anyone here who looks like that they are just so undone? Louis found one. All right. I have come to the conclusion that I haven't seen anybody who can't hear from God. So the present truth for my society is, say no more, the burden of the Lord. For every man shall bear his own burden. But when you come to the prophet, you shall say to the prophet, what hath the Lord said, and what hath the Lord answered? Because this does not remove the prophet. This does not remove the sensitive one. This causes him to mum his lips until he is asked. He has no right in interfering in the lives of others. And do you know why? Because I honestly believe that every person here has the sensitivity and can develop that sensitivity, so we're all kings and priests. Prophets. You remember the Revelation 19:10 scripture that we've taught before time and time again? And I've had you turn around and shake the hand of a prophet. And I believe that when I taught it. Because I believe that every person here, there's nobody here better than any of the rest of us. And nobody here any worse than the best of us. Praise God. We're all learning to be sensitive before the Lord. And so, without turning to the one next to you, just say to yourself, I'll carry the burden of the Lord. For every man shall carry his own burden. Somebody said, well, didn't Jesus say, give me your burden, take mine, it's easy and it's light? Yes, he did. And what was his burden? Take my yoke, it's easy. My burden is light. What is it? His burden is that I am doing the work for you. So you give me yours, and I'll do all your work for you. Because it'll be my righteousness, my works. Do you know that even in the Bible it does not say our faith in Jesus, it says the faith of Jesus in Hebrews? That does the work. Not even my faith, but his faith in me. Praise God. And that's the burden that we're carrying. Now the hardest part of the burden is to set it down. And all of a sudden, we have to labor to enter into that rest. To set down the burden that we're so joyfully carrying and say, Jesus, you do it. You said you do it. You finished it. It's through. And now I'd like to pray for you, like Paul prayed for his friends. And you know why? I'm expecting you to be alive and remain the coming of Christ. I can't see anybody here that I'd like to see dead. Turn around and look at each other for again, for just a minute now. Is there anybody here that you'd like to see dead? All right. I believe that having Jesus in the heart, Holy Ghost in the head, and the glory of the Father in the physical body, there is a group of people who will overcome the last enemy, which is, say it, death. Would you stand with me while we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear, and change us from what we are to what we ought to be. And Lord, we pray that everyone say yes to Jesus in the heart. Nobody will get out of here without Jesus in the heart. That each one of us say yes to the Holy Ghost in the head or mind, and that each one of us will stand as candidates for the glory of God the Father in the physical body. And we pray that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. For a free